know you don't want to talk about how to do it," Sarah said, squinting her eyes for mock emphasis. "But if you want to leave this table alive, you're going to have to give me more than that. How do I determine the demographics and psychographics of my most important customer?" she implored me. "Well," I began, "let's start where you are. What we already know about your business is that it's attracting someone to it, that the picture you have in your mind about the all-about pies you wish to create isn't that foreign from the one you've created, that while you didn't clearly formulate the ideas at the beginning of your business, we now know that your inner entrepreneur was busy all the time, that the caring you wish to express in the all-about pies of the future was in you all the time. It's expressed today in the delicious quality of your pies, in the beauty of your shop, and I might add, the lovely, albeit frazzled, state of your being," she snorted quietly in response as I went on. "So, I believe, Sarah, it's safe for us to assume that the people coming in your door today are unconsciously expressing their preference for the caring you have so eloquently shared with me. They're buying it even now. The first question you must ask, then, is who are they? Who are my customers, specifically? What is their demographic profile? How do you answer that question? You ask them. You ask each and every one of them by having them complete a questionnaire in return for a free pie. The free pie is the price you pay for that information. The answers you get will prove to be a bonanza. But while you're at it, you might as well get the psychographic data you need as well as the geographic data you need. How do you do that? You find out on your questionnaire what colors they prefer, what shapes, what words. You find out the brands of perfume they buy, automobiles, clothes, jewelry, food. You match those brands to the ads and commercials that sell them, and you discover by becoming interested in what messages are being sent to your customers by other companies who are successfully selling to them, what messages you might send to those customers who are demographically and psychographically the same as your existing central demographic model to intentionally come in your door. How do you find them, those people you've not yet met? You buy a list of those who fit your central demographic model in what you've now determined to be your trading zone. What's your trading zone? It's the geographic perimeter within which your current customers mainly live. You take their addresses from your questionnaire, identify them on a map, draw a line around them, and that's your first pass trading zone. You then buy a list of demographically correct people living in that area. Is that enough how to do it for now? I asked Sarah with mock impatience. Will that keep you busy for a while? Because if it is, I'd like to go back to the what to do for a moment, because there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. This marketing thing isn't nearly as complicated as I might have made it seem, I continued. But it's important that you take it seriously, because it most often is regarded by small business owners as merely good common sense. And I've seen more often than not that the only definition of good common sense is my opinion. That most small business owners, suffering as they do from what I've gotten to call willful disinformation, simply decide what they want to do without any information at all, without any interest in what's true, and then simply do it. Stationery designed by the local quick printer with a logo thrown in. Colors picked by their wives. Signs designed by the local sign guy whose experience is in painting signs, not in determining what colors and shapes are psychographically correct. In short, Sarah, while you don't have to go over the scientific deep end, you do have to be sensitive to the science of the art of marketing. You have to be interested in it. In fact, you have to be interested in everything your business needs. You have to become a student of the art of business as well as the science of business. And that's the what to do part of all this. Do you realize how much marketing money is spent by companies like McDonald's, Federal Express, Disney, and Walmart to get it just right? Do you realize how much time and attention companies like PepsiCo and American Express spend to get their brands just right? And how easy it is to miss the mark? And what it costs them if they do? In a small business, you simply can't afford to spend the money they do. But you can afford to spend the time, the thought, the attention on the same questions they ask. And that's why I keep on going back to the true work of the small business owner, the strategic work rather than the tactical work. Because if you're doing tactical work all the time, if you're working all the time, devoting all your energy in your business, you won't have any time or energy left to ask, let alone answer, all of the absolutely critical questions you need to ask. You'll simply have no time or energy left to work on it. The owner of the business must start out by asking marketing questions. The COO must continue to ask marketing questions. The VP of marketing is absolutely accountable for asking marketing questions. In fact, there isn't a function or a position within the company that is free of asking marketing questions if by marketing we mean what must our business be in the mind of our customers in order for them to choose us over everyone else. And so, seen from the appropriate perspective, the entire business process by which your business does what it does is a marketing process. It starts with a promise you make to attract them to your door. It continues with the sale you make once they get there. And it ends with the delivery of the promise before they leave your door. In some companies, that process is called lead generation, lead conversion, client fulfillment. In your business, Sarah, it's called marketing, sales, and operations. But whatever you call it, it is the essential key process that runs through every business. And it is how well integrated that process is, how totally and completely connected each part of the process appears in relation to the rest of the process, that will determine how successful you are at getting them to come back for more. And it is getting them to come back for more that is the primary aim of every business. Because what McDonald's knows, and what Federal Express knows, and what Disney knows, indeed what every extraordinary business knows, is that the customer you've got is one hell of a lot less expensive to sell to than the customer you don't have yet. And that's why the business process of lead generation, lead conversion, and client fulfillment is so critical to the growth of your business. And that's what marketing is, the whole process. Not just a part of it, but the entire thing. And it never stops. And so, while the VP Marketing and the VP Operations and the VP Finance each have their own specific accountabilities, they share one common purpose: to make a promise their customer wants to hear, and to deliver on that promise better than anyone else on the block. And the place where they join each other is at the position of COO. The COO is the driver of all this. The COO connects each part of the business process. The COO maintains the integrity of the whole by acting as the arbiter of the strategic objective he is accountable for fulfilling, of the rules of the game he is accountable for maintaining, of the game the business has chosen to play. And it is there, at that point in the middle, where hierarchy and process meet. It is there, at that point in the middle, that your business comes together. It is there, at that point, where your management system and your business development process play out their respective roles so vividly. It is at that point, the point I have called the PowerPoint in an earlier book, that a business truly becomes alive, where the static and dynamic nature of every great business meets. This is how we do it here. And then, this is how we do it here. And then, this is how we do it here. Over and over and still over again. Continuous improvement. Electrifying. Ecstatic. Alive. To do what? To deliver the promise no one else in your industry dares to make. That's what marketing is, Sarah. That's what your business must be. Alive, growing, committed to keeping a promise no competitor would dare to make. That's what needs to be done. Are you ready to do it? Just watch me, Sarah said. Then let's go on to the last part and tie it all together, I said. Let's take a look at systems and the absolutely essential role they play.